Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast. We are live on the postcast following the Timberwolves road win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North joins the show to break it all down right now. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North is with us to talk through this one. We go live after every single Wolves game. And Marty, there's a lot of directions we could go with this one. The Timberwolves, I mean, they were up by as many as 24. They led by 20 going to the fourth, but yet it was a one possession game with under a minute to play. Still, at the end of the day, we're talking about snapping a three-game losing streak and winning for just the second time in the last eight games. Where would you like to start?
I think with the fact that the Wolves are leaving Cleveland with a win, and you can pick apart how they got there, what they did do, what they didn't do. One of the first things Chris Finch said in his post-game press conference is, look, I am not here to be critical. I'm not here to find the fault. I'm here to say we won this game and we needed to win this game. And so that is my biggest takeaway, is just they got there, because this team has not done well with adversity this season. And there was a whole heck of a lot of adversity in the fourth quarter. And so the Wolves weathered that storm. However they got there, they got there.
Yes, absolutely. And that's been one of our biggest topics over the last couple of weeks, is dealing with adversity. And there were, you know, certainly moments in the fourth quarter. I mean, Darius Garland went absolutely nuts. I did a quick hit with Lockdown NBA that's going to post tomorrow. And Jackson, the host over there, asked me, like, hey, what happened in the fourth? And I was like, you know what? I think it was more Darius Garland just going nuts than anything else. There were a couple, certainly some sloppy offensive possessions and a couple of missed assignments on defense. But I thought for the most part, it was a guy who was shooting 30% on three coming into the game, just hitting a bunch of, he hit 10 threes in this game. And I mean, the Wolves, it wasn't in the scouting report to pick him up at 30 feet, but that was like, that's pretty much what happened in the fourth quarter. I thought the Wolves competed really for four entire quarters in this game.
Yeah, I thought so too. Darius Garland with 27 in the fourth. I mean, he was on an absolute mission, and he was as out of his mind almost. Just it, you could see the reactions of people inside the arena in Cleveland. They had their hands on their heads, like they couldn't believe what they were seeing. And I think you're right, Ben. It was less like a complete breakdown by the Wolves. It really was. It was just an unbelievable performance by Darius Garland.
Yeah, absolutely. And from the Wolves side, I think if I'm just analyzing the Wolves performance and setting aside Garland, this game was, I think, as close to how the Wolves want to play offensively, minus Anthony Edwards, and we could talk about him later. But I think as close to what Chris Finch wants to do offensively as we've seen, certainly in a long time, where D'Angelo Russell got to his spots early. He had 15 in the first quarter, half of his points in the first quarter, and he was really good throughout offensively, and really both ends of the floor. I thought D'Lo actually defended fairly well in this game compared to what we've seen recently. Karl-Anthony Towns got really involved late. The Cavs tried to guard him basically one-on-one with Evan Mobley, and that didn't really work out well for them. He was good late. It was a relatively quiet, I mean, you look at the box score and he had what, like 29 and 13. It's a relatively quiet 29 and 13, if there is such a thing. And they didn't do a lot of stuff for Rudy Gobert like they did really early in the season. It was more just he found some lobs here and there and ended up with a double-double. This just felt like how Chris Finch wants to execute the offense, playing more four out with Rudy kind of lurking in the dunker spot, similar to what Jared Vanderbilt did last year with the occasional pick and roll. It felt closer to what Finch wants to see.
Yes, and it was the first time this season that Towns and Gobert had a double-double in the same game. And I think that's significant, because they're figuring each other out. They're feeling each other out. There seem to be more minutes, at least until the stretch of this game, where Towns and Gobert were not playing together. It was one on the court, the other off, and they would sub in for each other. And part of that is because Carl, I feel like when he's the five, he gets a five guarding him, and then it opens up his outside game. And so part of that is just an adjustment for Carl into playing more the four, and therefore having a four defending him, because he hasn't been shooting a lot of threes. But he got going in this game. He had 16 points in the third quarter. D'Angelo Russell had the big 15 points in the first quarter. So it was kind of like different guys at different times in different spots. But with Cleveland not playing Jarrett Allen tonight with whatever his ankle issue was, if the Wolves did not have big games from their bigs, it would seem like just a wasted opportunity when Cleveland didn't have the full complement of bigs. So I feel like having solid performances from both Towns and Gobert was significant in this game because Cleveland didn't have the best big lineup. And if you don't take advantage of that at that moment, then when are you going to take advantage of it? So the Wolves did that tonight.
Yeah, they did. And they won points. I mean, they win the points in the paint battle almost every night. The Wolves do, but they outscored the Cavs by 12 in the paint. The Wolves shot 50% from three. They only attempted 24 threes this year, which makes me want to go back and look at last year and see how many games they, you know, they were in the 20 to 25 range on threes, because I don't think it was very often. And but they took good shots and they made them when they took them. And they had guys who don't shoot a lot of threes make theirs. You know, Kyle Anderson was 2 of 2 and Jaden McDaniels was 1 of 2. And like Jalen Noel hit hit a 3-pointer off the bench. It just felt like it was a balanced offensive attack, and that they dealt with they did a good job dealing with the lack of Jarrett Allen, which I thought was really good to see. The Timberwolves bench, strong in this game. Torian Prince had 19 points in just 22 minutes. He had 10 free throw attempts, hit a couple of clutch free throws when they were only up two with, I think, about 30 seconds left. He hit both free throws to put them up by two possessions. It was good throughout the game. And it was, similar rotation to what we've seen from the bench for Chris Finch. Jalen Noel and Jordan McLaughlin each with 15 minutes. Anderson and Prince each playing over 20. But I thought the bench played extremely well in this game. And even without Donovan Mitchell and Jarrett Allen, the Cavs are a deep roster. So I think it was really important for the bench to play like they did.
Yeah, and I thought that Kyle Anderson made a couple of really nice passes on the slowest shot fake you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be pretty impactful at the time. And then I wanted to touch on TP because you mentioned the big night from him and the 10 free throws. And this team has kind of been looking for that voice that kind of holds guys accountable. And Torian Prince has been doing that, has been that kind of vocal leader. And when you can step to the free throw line and hit clutch free throws in big moments, it gives you more credence, more credibility. And so if that's something that the Wolves have really been searching for, is that voice, someone to kind of question you, put you in your spot, hold you accountable, challenge you, all of that. Torian Prince's voice gets a lot stronger when he can have performances like this one tonight. So if nothing more than that, it's pretty significant.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. He was fantastic. That's another question, bringing up the conversation I had with Locked On NBA host, is he asked me who's the leader on the team. And I said, Torian Prince is the guy that everyone talks about because he's the one who's, you know, been around the most, I guess, for the most part. He's been there, done that. And you know, that's who the players all point to. And he had a fantastic game in this one. I want to, I guess, close really by talking about lost my train of thought. Let's see. By talking a little bit about Anthony Edwards. So he finished with 10 and 7, and he had a couple nice plays in the fourth quarter after having struggled to close the third. The Cavs went on like a mini run in the third quarter, and the Wolves didn't really do a great job of holding serve initially, but then they pushed back and Ant had a couple empty possessions. But then in the fourth, he got moving without the ball a little bit more, which we noted the other night. He was fantastic doing that against Memphis early in that game. And he got a dunk off of a cut, should have gotten to the free throw line and an and one there. So there were some flashes from him. He was probably the one player who didn't necessarily come to the party offensively in this game. But I think there were still some good signs, and I don't know. I didn't think he had a terrible game overall.
No, he definitely wasn't terrible. He was quiet, and it was a little disappointing because he had the big game in Memphis on Friday night where the juice was back, the energy was back, the smile was back, and then you start thinking like, oh, he's going to string a few together. Look out, here comes Ant. And then he comes out really quiet in Cleveland. But part of that was because maybe there just wasn't a lot of room for him to shine in a night where D'Angelo Russell has a huge first quarter, Karl-Anthony Towns has a huge third quarter. And I would rather see Ant have a quiet night like this than force himself into the game. He did take, he hit a huge shot in the final minute and a half maybe of this game. And then he came down the very next time on the court. He brought the ball up the court and took an immediate early shot clock three. He hit the two, missed the three. And it wasn't a great shot, but he got rewarded once because he hit it, and then he missed the next one. And then that was kind of it from Ant, except that baseline dunk that was pretty big. So he shined in moments. And maybe that's actually a sign of growth, just the fact that he wasn't a huge part of this game, but he didn't need to be, and he didn't force his hand, and he just kind of let it come to him. I mean, you kind of like to see the balance between the two, him asserting himself a little bit, but maybe the most important thing is he didn't lose it. He didn't have a terrible game with tons of turnovers and a big minus, and, you know, he was just a little quiet, which we're not used to seeing from Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. Agreed. And now next up for the Wolves, they get a couple of days off. They're off Monday, off Tuesday. They don't play again until Wednesday. They go to Orlando and then at Philadelphia Saturday. So they actually have two back-to-back off days this week, Monday, Tuesday off, and Thursday, Friday off, at Orlando, at Philadelphia. And hopefully Orlando's an opportunity, you know, with D'Lo scoring 30 points in this game and looking much more like the D'Lo of, you know, the good games he had last year. Cause there were stretches last season when he was looked a lot like all-star D'Lo from Brooklyn. And hopefully this is an opportunity against an Orlando team that's not great defensively and overall hasn't been great this year, that D'Lo can keep rolling and Ant can get rolling. But I mean, Orlando, Philadelphia, before coming back home for one against Miami, there's some more wins on the board here in the next week and a half or so, I would think, if the Wolves play like they did against Cleveland. But I think leaning on, you know, hopefully D'Lo and Ant can get into that rhythm here as we go throughout the week.
Yes, and hopefully the Wolves don't start feeling really good about themselves because they won a game on the road.
Right.
Because that has been an issue for this team is start. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but that's kind of how they act, and sometimes playing down to your competition. So Orlando, who started the season just treacherously, they have two wins in a row, and they've been over Dallas and over Phoenix. So yeah. I don't know what to really make of this team, but I definitely know it's a team you cannot overlook. So let's hope the Wolves bring their A game on Wednesday down to Orlando and can make it back-to-back dubs.
Yeah, and Paolo Banchero has been banged up a little bit. Hopefully he plays Wednesday. Just from a fan perspective, hoping to see him play would be a ton of fun. So that's who the Wolves have Wednesday. Of course, we go live after every single Wolves game about 45 minutes following the final horn. Marnie and I will go live. So make sure to follow and subscribe to Locked On Sports Minnesota. You can also listen to this after the fact if you ever miss it live on Locked On Wolves, any of our audio feeds. Make sure to subscribe and follow Locked On Wolves on all platforms, including on YouTube. Thanks once again for listening, and we will catch you next time.